Sam, can you hear me? Sam, can you hear me? Brenda, can you hear me? I got a live 2K. I can't stream this.
Matt, what's going on? Is there a problem? Just turn the video game off.
Shit. I'm up 10 on the all-time bulls.
Matt, I don't know what that means. I don't know the details of your stupid game. Just leave the game up there and stream the show. We gotta start the show.
I can try, but it may crash my router. We could end up broadcasting a completely different show, and then people might think it's some lame April Fool's thing.
Yeah, that probably would be some lame April Fool's thing, but try it anyways.
Okay.
Three past the hour. I'm the Deuce. This is the Ken, Ken, and Ken show. Remember, I'm the crown prince of the third wave of right-wing talkers in northeast Stoughton metropolitan area. Like I say, three past the hour. The Deuce here. Of course, I am broadcasting live from what appears to be a totally empty Fenway Park. Nobody's here because there's a bunch of people who apparently believe the hoax. And I had to basically walk in through what was more or less an empty gate on the street that I still call Yawkey Way, because that was its original name. And he was a great man. I don't care what anybody says. Joining me by remote, who is at the New Garden, is Scotzo, and of course we have the new dork back at our studio, and Stinky Brenbrand is around too somewhere, but I don't know where he is. Scotzo,
he's the carrier. He's got the first virus from China.
What's going on over at the garden?
It's a little disappointing, to be honest. I thought that more people would be here. I thought that more Bruins fans would not believe in the hoax, but we're here. We're going to watch some highlight reels later.
Yeah, that's great. But you do realize it would have been not hockey season there. That's why you don't play hockey in April. So
I'm a little slow.
All right. Yeah, no kidding. All right. Anyways, we got a lot to talk about.
I do like the 1990 shades, though.
Yeah. Anyways, these are actually these were not cheap either. We got a bunch of stories that we're going to get to. First off, McConnell admits impeachment has distracted everybody from responding to the hoax. And along those lines, the numbers don't add up. Get back to work, people. Okay. And on top of that, WorldNet Daily has a story on the Chinese cover up. And of course, new report that the Clinton loving Dr. Fauci won't release his phone records so that people can see whether he's been calling Hillary Clinton or not. And typical Kennedys, the Kennedy senator, Senator hides its endowment. And then more lib do as I say, not as I do. The director of emergency management in Sonoma County sunbathed at the beach. Okay. So, yeah.
These guys can't help themselves. They
you
can't
do
help
what
themselves.
I say, but don't do what I do. That's the way the libs do it. I bet you.
And I say a man sunbathes never.
I bet you he got there in a plane too, right? Because of global warming. And the liberal media attacks MyPillow CEO because he likes God. And that is against the law, apparently, in America, if you're liberal, to like God. So let's get to some stories. This is a big story that everybody sort of knows, but doesn't really know. And that is, of course, how not only is coronavirus a huge hoax perpetrated by the libs and the Democrats, or I should say the lib Democrats. But they staged the whole impeachment hoax to distract Donald Trump from the coronavirus hoax. And here is Mitch McConnell admitting it with the great Hugh Hewitt.
Let me talk to you a little bit about Senator Cotton. Politico yesterday recognized him as the first to the bell. In your experience in the Senate, was Senator Cotton the first one to say, hey, leader, hey, Mitch, this is a deadly situation. I do not trust the Chinese. Was he first?
He was first. I think Tom was right on the mark. And it came up while we were, tied down in the impeachment trial. And I think it diverted the attention of the government, because everything every day was all about impeachment. But Tom figured this out early, and he was absolutely right.
Okay, there you have it. But we're not going to just rely on one piece of evidence that it distracted Donald Trump and the government. We're going to rely on two pieces of evidence. Okay, so here's the second piece of evidence. This is the president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, answering a question from, of course, some of the fake media.
On the line today, he was on Mitch McConnell, yeah. He said that impeachment diverted the attention of the government. Do you think that in any way, this was happening and building at the same time, did it divert your attention or your team's attention or the vice president's attention?
Well, I don't like to think I did. I think I handled it very well, but I guess it probably did. I mean, I got impeached. I think, I certainly devoted a little time to thinking about it, right? So, but think of it. It was a hoax. It was a total hoax. And when you think that I got impeached only because they had a majority in the House, they didn't get one Republican vote. 196 to nothing. Not one Republican. I don't think it's ever happened. The Republicans stuck together. And they stuck together in the Senate 52 to a half. A half. So, when you say that, yeah, I think it took a lot of I see them going and saying about speed. Well, they probably illegally impeached me in the sense that if you look at the FBI today with what happened, the horrible things, nobody cares about that now because all they're thinking about is the virus. And that's OK with me. But you look at the report that came.
Yeah. OK.
Yeah. Because so, it was illegal what they did.
Well, all right. First off, there was an illegal impeachment that nobody remembered anyways, because only in the Senate, they only got a half a vote from Republicans that allowed for the impeachment in the first place. It was totally illegal. It was one of the amazing things you have ever seen, with Republicans all gathered around to support him against the illegal impeachment that he handled very well, but was also distracted by, because, of course, who wouldn't be in that situation? It made it impossible to deal with coronavirus. And so the whole thing was illegal. It's a complete hoax. And I think it's obvious.
And if you think about, I was also reading that Nancy Pelosi has a long lost son who imports, gags and chains and other San Francisco things from China. So I want to know the timeline here of a Chinese manufactured hoax virus and the impeachment of Donald Trump. What's the real partnership here?
Okay. So here is a timeline so that people can be clear on just how distracting this was, the impeachment, from the efforts to deal with this. See, part of the reason why people are confused by whether it's a hoax is because the president was distracted from dealing with it in the first place. So here is this guy, lib reporter, Judd Legum, with Popular Information. I don't think it's that popular, but here it is anyways. So
I judge you to be unpopular.
Now, hold on. Listen to this. All right. So, Scotzo, how many times were people talking about impeachment in 2017? Quite a bit, correct?
All the time.
Right.
Every single day.
Very distracting. So the distraction built. It built. It built. It built. Then in 2018, President Trump is so distracted that he has to fire Rear Admiral Tim Zimmer, who is the senior director of global health security. And he had to fire him and get him off the National Security Council and not replace him and get rid of his entire staff. And then, because he was so distracted by the prospect of impeachment, which in some ways is worse than actually getting illegally impeached, because then you're wondering, like, are they going to do it legally? Are they going to do it illegally? You don't know. Are they going to get a full vote from a Republican or a half vote from a Republican? You don't know.
Is it going to be a Jew coup or a deep state coup?
It could be both.
Any number of things. It could be all three.
It could be all three.
Third, we didn't even know.
So what he did in that state of distraction is he allowed John Bolton to force out Zimmer's counterpart at Department of Homeland Security, this guy Tom Bossert, who was also in charge of pandemics. Okay, so now you're totally distracted. And because of that, you fired all these guys and you never replace them. Because maybe you're like, oh, I'm going to note to self, replace the guys in charge of pandemics for this country. And then like, oh, shoot, I doodled impeachment all over it. And now I don't see it anymore.
Maybe I don't have time to watch a Morgan Freeman movie when I'm about to be illegally impeached.
Right, exactly. And then, so cut to a year later. All right, on December 18th. Trump was impeached in the House, okay? And then you go to a campaign rally for yourself because you're trying to get away from the distraction. And then, of course, in the next day, you go to you go play golf because you don't want to get distracted. You want to be able to maintain focus, okay? And so you go and you play golf. And then that's during Christmas. And then you play golf again on January 5th. And then between those days, you play golf 14 times because you're so
distracted. Stay focused.
You got to stay
focused. As best you can.
How I'm all over the place. I need a little like a wall to hit to be able to focus. Then on January 8th, the CDC issues its first warning about a respiratory illness spreading in China. But that doesn't sound like coronavirus. You're just like, oh, respiratory illness. Oh, that's too bad.
Also, but I'm sorry. Close. What is this? The Communist Department of China? Like, you have to remember, there's a lot of people in the CDC that don't like Donald Trump. So that's distracting.
Well, that's probably why he had to fire all those people in the CDC who are in China like months ago, because they're just always like doing more distracting things. Like, there could be a pandemic here.
Could we take taxpayer money to go to China again, please?
Right.
And he's like, no, I want to save money for the people.
I like General Tso's chicken. So send me over there and I'll pretend like I'm telling you about pandemics. Okay. And then January 9th, he had another rally with Pence in Toledo, Ohio. And then they were back on a campaign trail in Milwaukee on the 14th. Okay. And then he went golfing again on January 18th and 19th in Palm Beach. And then on January 20th, the first COVID-19 case in the United States reported in Washington. And then on January 21st, the next day, right, the Senate impeachment trial begins. And then Trump had to go on a trip to the World Economic Forum. And he said, the whole hoax is going to be fine. We got under control. Then he had campaign rallies in New Jersey on the 28th and 30th. And then he had to go golfing again on the 1st and 2nd of February. And the Senate then acquitted Trump on February 5th. And on that day, Alex Azar requested $2 billion to buy respirator masks and other supplies for the depleted federal stockpile emergency medical equipment. However, we're so distracted because impeachment's over that we're going to say, no, thank you. We're not going to take that request.
Maybe there's like things you need to do. Maybe you want to celebrate. Maybe you want to like send a guy from like, you know, back in the Jersey days to send a message to Mitt Romney's family. I don't know. But maybe you've got other things on your mind.
And then for the next 11 days, you're so distracted by the fact that you were impeached that when you meet with Chris Murphy and give the briefing on the coronavirus, he comes out of that meeting saying the bottom line, they aren't taking this seriously enough because there's no request for any emergency funding, which is a big mistake. You see, the impeachment distracted them for probably till today. Then on the 15th, of course, he goes golfing again because he's still like I'm all over the place.
He's upset. He's upset. He's also doing his best. Also, Chris Murphy is the Senate version of Schiff. He's a pencil neck.
Total pencil neck, shifty shift. I call him Murphy Murph.
Murphy Smurf. Murphy Smurf.
Murphy Smurf. Liar, pants on fire. I don't even know what to say beyond that. It is now 16 past the hour. It is time to read this. And then we're going to have a guest on after I say a few words about this whole situation. But first off, in times of dire need, what will you do to protect your family? Well, introducing Patriot Quinine. It's real quinine soda infused with gold and colloidal silver to treat viruses and infections and hoaxes. It's refreshing. It has a biochemical bacteria inhibitor and can also be used as currency if you return the bottles to a recognized bottle deposit repository. So you got to look into that and see where your local place where you can take a bottle back. But when you do, it is as good as currency. Each bottle is like worth money. Patriot Quinine tastes so good. It is so good for you. You'll never want to leave your house again, which, you know, time of hoax. Go to patriotquinine.com/KenKenAndKenShow. That's patriotquinine.com. KenKenAndKen. Put in the coupon code KKK and you will get 10% off. That's the way that works. So as you can see behind me here, I am surrounded by nobody. There is everyone is staying inside in Massachusetts because, of course, of something that is horrific that we are all dealing with here. In many respects, people are dealing with this all around the country. And of course, I'm talking about the absolute travesty. You know, you get used to a way of life. And you just assume certain things are going to be there the whole time. And maybe to a certain extent, you take certain things for granted. But I think we are going through a national crisis right now. Tom Brady is no longer in a Patriots jersey. There should be hearings. I don't know why we haven't had any hearings whatsoever about this. But he is now in Florida, which is just absurd. There's been no public outcry. There's been, you know, part of that could be because of the impeachment distracted a lot of people. And then Tom Brady's gone. So
and then Tom Brady's gone. And we're here in the sports stadiums of New England to register our dissatisfaction with that. But I think this is a moment that across the Bay State and even across in other kind of queer parts of the country, people can understand what this feels like.
Look,
everybody knows what it's like to have their lives uprooted, their routines destroyed. Maybe your loved ones are going through this. This is a very serious time for us all as normal people, as gay people, whatever, to come together and go through this crisis together.
First of all, Tom Brady is, and, you know, I think everybody knows I'm completely straight, but he's a very good looking guy. And I can say that I'm pretty confident. And so it's not just in Massachusetts, of course. I mean, that would be super narrow minded of me because obviously people in Rhode Island are freaked out, even in parts of Connecticut, not so much like down near Hartford, but I'm talking like northeast corner of Connecticut. People are freaked out. Palmer, Connecticut, southern Maine, southern New Hampshire, southern Vermont a little bit, but they don't really get it there.
They probably don't even have cable packages to watch this.
It's just there's like it's, you know, Freako Bernie territory and it's like, oh, football.
Who's Tom Brady? Give me more organic ice cream.
20 years, the greatest quarterback that has ever lived, probably the greatest athlete that's ever been alive at any point.
I remember when you told me that you would go Giselle for him. And at first I was a little uncomfortable, but, you know, I thought about it. Now I really understand what you were saying.
Yeah. Or I would just like the three of us, whatever. Let's take a quick
break. You just wanted to spend more time with him and understand who he was as a person.
Yeah. I was freaked out a little bit by the whole kiss my kid on the lips thing, but whatever. Look, We got to take a break.
And
when
then
we
you
come
said
back.
You wished that you were his kid, but I got what you were saying.
Yeah. Well, then we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to a lib reporter from the interwebs. What the hell is the name of that?
Intercept.
We're going to be talking to Ryan Grimm. We've had him on the show before. He's a total lib crackpot. And it's time.
He's a gay terrorism apologist, but he's a good sport. And we appreciate the debate.
Exactly. We do things respectful around here. We're going to take a quick break. It is 21 past the hour. I'll be right back on the Ken, Ken, and Ken show. We are back on the Ken, Ken, Kennan show. It is 23 past the hour. Here with the Deuce, Scotso is on the line. And, of course, the new Dork and Stinky Bren Bren are back in the studio on the phone from the Interception, the Washington reporter or from the, that magazine, liberal guy, Ryan Grimm, welcome back to the program.
Instead of intercept, we should have called it the fumble.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. You know, look, here's the thing. It's inappropriate to make jokes like that at this time when everyone knows that Tom Brady is no longer with the Patriots.
You know, a lot of people are going through a lot right now, Ryan. That's... It's so funny for people who are constantly like, ooh, don't make jokes. You can't say anything. Then in a moment of actual crisis for the Bay State and Southern New England in general, this guy comes on immediately and so.
It's true. It's pretty stunning, dude, that you feel, you know, like this is a time to mock people who are, you know, dealing with this type of crisis. But go ahead. You do you. It's a classic lib move. Do as I say, not as I do. Go ahead.
It is pretty wild to see the football news that just keeps coming out. Teams making moves, trading players, signing people, cutting people. Like it's coming from an alternative universe.
Right. Okay, whatever. Let me ask you a question, Ryan, since you are on the phone and you're a liberal. There's a couple of pieces that came out today. First off, where do you stand on this whole thing that Dr. Fauci is refusing to allow searching of his phone records to see if he has been in touch with Hillary Clinton?
It's outrageous. I mean, I don't understand why they needed Dr. Fauci when the president has such a clear handle on this epidemic, right?
Well, I searched through the archives of The Interception, and you are some type of a mucky muck over there, and I have not seen a single story on Fauci-gate or Fauci-gazi.
Stay tuned. We're still working our sources on this. How are you guys holding up in this fake pandemic?
Well, it's a joke. I mean, I'm sitting here in Fenway right now, and there's nobody here except for me. And frankly, I'm looking around here, and it would be great. It's the best seats I've had in a long time, but there's no game.
Yeah.
I mean, all of us are going through. I mean, look, you got a hoax, a Chinese Clinton hoax. You've got, deep state Fauci. And most importantly, Tom Brady is no longer with us. So there's a lot that a lot of Americans, and I do emphasize the word Americans, Ryan, are going through.
So if you're not going to address the and you're still supposedly working sources for Fauci, how about you just look at the WikiLeaks cables and you'll see. Maybe I can refresh.
Hi, this is Ryan Grimm. Hello, is this Mrs. Clinton? What would you like me to write about your friend Fauci in the Intercept journal?
All right, whatever. We'll read into that later, because there's other things I wanted to talk to you about, Ryan Grimm. And where are you? Are you at your office or are you at home?
Oh, I'm at home.
Oh, okay. So yeah. you're not like the director of emergency management in Sonoma County who told people to stay at home, but he sunbathed at the beach.
The beach at Sonoma?
Well, he went to some beach around there. Maybe it was like a lake beach. I mean, the point is, this is a perfect example of how liberals tell you what.
Oh,
okay. So whatever you say, because it's typical that people will always just say stuff like, you should stay at home, but I'm going to go and work. But anyways, whatever. That's not the point. Let's look at what's going on with this attack on Senator Kelly Loeffler. Okay. Are you familiar with her?
I am. Yeah. She was appointed to the Senate, right?
Well, she was appointed, but by a duly elected person who appointed her. Is that not right?
I suppose that's correct.
Yes, it is correct. Got you. Sorry. Yes. It wasn't a got you question, but apparently I don't understand. Like, do you have a problem with the democratic process?
Yes. So Kelly Loeffler, she is the spouse of the owner of the New York Stock Exchange. Most people probably don't know that you can actually own the New York Stock Exchange. Some members of Congress, when they enter that august institution in order to gain public trust, put their own assets into a blind trust or instruct their financial advisors to just put all their money in index funds, mutual funds, do not do any individual stock trading, because not that I would do anything corrupt, but I don't even want to make it look to anybody like I would be using my position, my access to non-public information in order to profit in the stock market. And then you have some members of the Senate.
Well, excuse me for one second. I got to stop you. Okay. Because first off, this is disgusting. All right. The idea that you're going to talk about her husband. When I brought up Dr. Fauci, you did not start talking about her wife. Why are you so sexist?
Did I say wife? I said spouse.
Well, but the point is, you didn't bring up Fauci's spouse. You only brought up Loeffler's spouse because she's a woman.
Does Fauci's spouse own the New York Stock Exchange?
I don't know, because I think it's disgusting to use people's family against them. Okay. Now, there's this hit piece that came out today in the AJC, which I think is the American Jewish Covenant. Is that what it is?
Yeah,
maybe.
The AJC reports that, so here it is. This is more liberals attacking success. Okay. She sold a stock in Lululemon and TJ Maxx and then invested in a company that makes COVID-19 protective garments. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution got a first look at these reports covering mid-February through mid-March. Okay, so why do libs hate success? She made a smart stock move. What's so bad about that? Why do you hate success? Why are you also a sexist?
That's a deep question. I think that the conflict going inside your Republican Party right now, though, is between kind of the populists who are represented by your president, Donald Trump.
He's everybody's president.
The rest of the
folks, yeah. Oh, so wait. Hold on.
The kind of country club. Right,
so you're saying
hold on for 1 second, Ryan.
Yeah, Donald Trump. To have both.
Donald Trump is not your president. That's what you're saying on this show at this moment when Tom Brady has left New England, that you live in another country, that Donald Trump.
Doesn't even matter.
No. I never once said that Barack Obama, even if he was a bisexual hooker from Indonesia, whatever, born elsewhere, wasn't my president. The president.
I got news for you. I think if you would ask anybody across the world, more people around the world perceive Donald Trump as their president than ever contemplated it with Barack Obama. So it's not just like it doesn't matter. And this is the thing that we say on the show all the time. It doesn't matter if you are from China. It doesn't matter if you are brown. It doesn't matter any of that. It doesn't matter what, you're from Africa or whatever. Inside, we are all Americans. Okay.
So the real question is, Ryan, is why are you racist?
So
anyway.
Yeah. Well, what's your response to this? Why do you hate success? Just because she picked a good stock?
So the difference between the country club Republican view of the world and the more American view of the world is that there ought to be some equality of opportunity, and that you shouldn't tilt the playing field in favor of people who already have the wealth and the power. And that
everybody should get Tom Brady.
We should getting up by their bootstraps.
So government should give everybody.
You should get Tom Brady. Anything you want to be if you put your mind to it. And so when you have somebody who is using access to non-public information in order to, sell particular stocks that they can invest in.
This guy's filibustering
money off of the pandemic.
He's filibustering
before other people realize what's going on. Instead of doing their job, which is to kind of warn the public that this pandemic is coming and try to mitigate it so that there aren't 100 to 200,000 plus deaths. Then people get upset about that kind of success.
Oh, let me see if I got you right here. So you're not allowed to make money off of information that is not public yet. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's illegal.
Okay. All right. So tell us again what you do. You find information that is not public and then you make it public to make money. Is that not correct? But it's okay when you do it. It's okay when you do it. But if a Republican does it, then it's illegal. Okay. I just want to get the ground rules. I just want to get the ground
Hillary
rules.
Hillary Clinton, tell me something that hasn't happened. Hey, Hillary Clinton, tell me something that hasn't happened yet. I'll use that to attack our country in the septid or whatever, the septic. Right.
How many of your stories?
I'll make Soros money. Oh, Mrs. Loeffler, a successful woman, can't do it because she's a Republican. Right. You're a sexist.
Always.
Yeah, you make a solid point.
Always.
As usual.
Always believe her. Always believe her. But I guess not in this instance. Okay, let's move on. Since you don't want to do that, another typical example, too, of libs raising their kids. can't keep them quiet. I'm a Doug Collins guy, but even still, I have respect for a woman who's successful. But apparently you don't. And I guess let me ask you this, Ryan Grimm from The Interception. Who Do you have a problem with price gouging?
Do I have a problem with price gouging? Yeah, I believe that there should be some limits on price gouging. On the other hand, in an environment like the one we're in now, you know, there shouldn't really be prices, period. You know, the production ought to be just nationalized, and there should be a coordinating entity that makes
sure. So you want Donald Trump to be a dictator,
made whole for what they make, even perhaps a little reasonable profit, but that the medical supplies and equipment and protective gear need to be getting, you know, to the locations in the most need.
So you
at
want
moments
Donald
like
Trump
this.
To be a dictator. So you want Donald Trump to be a dictator. This guy's been running around for years going, oh no, Donald Trump, he's going to take over the country and we're not going to have elections where we can run people that hate America anymore. And now you want him to nationalize the supply chain and be a dictator.
Right. Maybe we should impeach Donald Trump because he's using too much power. Oh, or maybe now we should impeach Donald Trump because he's not using enough of his power. Right. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, I would say that it'd be a good thing to get rid of Donald Trump and have even somebody like your guy, Mike Pence, somebody that has some, you know, baseline connection to reality.
Okay.
Would probably be more effective.
Listen, Ryan, we're trying to be respectful.
Kind of movable
of you,
by just kind of
but
rhetoric.
But you're coming
or bluster.
On and just heaping. You have Trump derangement syndrome. You can't even answer a question. So, okay, let me ask you this then about price gouging. You want Donald Trump to take more power, then you don't want him to want more power, then you have him want more power, and so forth and back and forth. But let me ask you this. Do you think these workers who are going on strike, are they not price gouging? Because they're saying, oh, there's a pandemic, I want more money, or you're not going to get your packages. That's like extortion.
Well, you're breaking up, Ken and Ken. You give me the super short version of this nonsense question.
Okay, listen carefully, okay? Why do you are you against price gouging, but then you're in favor of workers trying to gouge their employers for more money to work at places like a supermarket where you shouldn't even get paid, basically not get any money for working there, more or less.
So you're asking about wage gouging.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think the workers who are looking for hazard pay in order to, when they're risking their lives, in order to make sure that you continue to get your Amazon packages, which I'm not sure what you've got coming, but I'm sure it's essential.
Greatest company in the world. I've got some tanning lotion coming. I got all sorts of stuff.
Right. So in order to get that to your doorstep, we would call it wage gouging. Interesting.
Yeah.
And compare that to people who are hoarding protective gear and trying to jack up the price for
doctors
and other
Okay. I like how you just
questions.
Changed it doesn't to hoarders questions. Because the other thing is that price, what you call price gouging, is the market doing its magic so that people don't hoard. Because if I go to the supermarket and a roll of toilet paper costs $50, I can't hoard it anymore. That's why price gouging is so important. It's right here in WorldNet Daily. It was written out. And here it is. Often hoarding creates shortages. In uncertain times, people may purchase 3 dozen eggs instead of 1 dozen. They may want to maintain stockpiles of canned goods. However, if the prices are exceedingly high, they can't do that. And there's enough for everybody.
Genius. You guys have this figured out. So why isn't it working since you guys have it figured out so well?
Because people are afraid to price gouge because of people like you. And that's why
demonized.
There's shortages.
Exactly.
The only thing that
you think
like,
it's not enough.
It's okay to wage gouge, like, oh, I'm not going to come into work today unless you give me more money because I could get sick. Well, I could get sick at any time.
Great. Yeah. Yeah. You guys have it figured out again.
He has no answers.
Ryan, what?
Oh my God.
Here's the question I always have for you people. Why are you so hateful?
Yeah.
I just don't understand. We have you on the show. We're just like, look, you're a mouthpiece for the Clinton Foundation. You're racist. You hate women. You don't want people to succeed. You support price gouging. That's fine. That's your opinion. Let's have an open exchange. And then we ask you the questions and all you have is hate.
Well, you know, I was most inspired by Cory Booker's presidential campaign, which was based on love and the notion of radical love. And so I don't think it's quite fair to say that I'm just wallowing in hate here.
Radical love sounds like a Saul Alinsky tactic. Now, Ryan, you're gay. In the 1980s, there was something called the bathhouse flu that ran around, and it was very bad for you people. Are you concerned that with this China hoax now, they're trying to give everybody, despite Donald Trump's best efforts and Walgreens and CVS's and Mattress Plus's best efforts, everyone the bathhouse flu?
You know, this might sound strange, but one of my, you know, fears early on in the Trump administration was that we would have a pandemic in year four of his administration, because I figured if some catastrophe like this happened in year one or two, at least he would not have succeeded in totally dismantling the competence of the government that, so quickly, and that there would still be some remnants of the state, the deep state, so to speak, that would be in place to kind of take the wheel from this kind of reckless maniac. Unfortunately, you know, he's been in office long enough to dismantle the pandemic preparedness team and the National Security Council.
We've heard all the
we know that. Well, maybe if you weren't distracting him, he wouldn't have.
Most of the people who would be able to effectively combat a pandemic. And so what you're seeing is that despite the fact that the United States had a couple months of warning to know that this was coming, we're the least prepared for it. And well, and now,
okay, that's your
Trump
story.
Saying that if only 200,000 people die on his watch from this, that he it will be a testament to himself.
Rude. First off, you're rude. You try and talk over me. First off, listen. I appreciate you working on your work here. I didn't realize The Interception was a fiction magazine. But the bottom line is, one, why do you need to make everything political? Two, did you ever think that all the pushing of this hoax was sort of like a self-fulfilling prophecy? That in some ways, the virus got worse because of how much you guys were hyping it up. Like, there are times, like, you know, one hand you'll say, like, they'll always tell you, like, encourage your kids, show them confidence, and then they'll get better. But that's what you did with the virus. And then it starts to kill people. And then you just blame other people.
This isn't one that's actually making the rounds on your message boards, is it? This one even seems beneath you guys.
Oh, it's beneath us to report, like, what is a actual social dynamic, that social scientists say this, that you can actually, like, there's a such thing as self-fulfilling prophecy. This is the guy who's actually talking about politicizing this thing to so much. Let me ask you this.
Why didn't the prophecies of Donald Trump that he would take the 15 cases we had quickly down to zero? What
because
happened
of you guys,
prophecies?
Because of you guys and Ben Fauci. Because every time Donald Trump went out and said somebody something positive, you immediately snapped into formation like a giant immune system suppressant propaganda operation. And you were like, no, you're going to die. Don't listen to Donald Trump. Women shouldn't make money on the stock market.
Let's look at for a moment. let's just look at for a moment the whole question of what you're saying. We have a tweet by Rich Lowry, one of the intellectual giants in the entire country, for the most part. Can we put that tweet up, Sneaky Bren? Okay, here it is. Rich Lowry, Trump rightfully slamming the just the flu argument. And then people attack it, like this Chris Hayes guy who's got a show on MSDNC, DNC mm-hmm. on there. Ha, 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 ha. Okay, look at this. There's other ones too. Look at this guy, Sam Cedar. What a douchebag. He says, this is a genuinely psychotic tweet. How come libs...
No, I'm sorry, Ryan. Why do all you guys look like lesbians?
Yeah, why? Like, yeah, what, it was like their one uniform for you guys. What? What is? What? Why can't you? Like, what's wrong with the president saying it's not the same as the flu?
I guess there's nothing wrong with that. Maybe if he would have said that from the beginning, that might have helped.
Oh, it's always something. You said it. Oh, but you didn't say it soon enough. It's unbelievable. So what did you want him to do at the press conference? Take a time machine? Like, do you remember, like, how many times people like, hey, Barack Obama won't call it Islamic terrorism. And people like, it's just words. It's just words, whatever. You need him to say this. Now you need him to say it's not like the flu. Right? It's the same thing.
Those are basically the same thing.
Boom. Well, Ryan, you've been a good sport. I mean, I am, you know, going to be honest with you. I'm sort of disgusted by the way that you guys are politicizing this. It's just like one of those things. Donald Trump did not invent coronavirus.
No, fair enough.
Boom. Okay, there we go.
So wait. So you just did, look, you've admitted everything in between trying to tear down woman leaders, destroy capitalism and support workers and price gouging, even at a time when Tom Brady has left the Patriots. But Ryan, you know, I think we should give you the final word.
Tom Brady, overrated.
Well, that's exactly what I would expect from someone with your limited intelligence. But that's, you had the last word, so there it is. Thank you for coming on. Goodbye. Disgusting. You know, like, I think people out there probably see this and they probably get disgusted by it. And they say, like, why do you talk to these people? They're completely insane, completely unhinged. The guy has total Donald Trump derangement syndrome. He's got it worse than most, I would say. But it's also, you know, I've seen it. It's rampant.
The hatred, just like the raw hatred every time that guy Grimm talks.
Let's see what we got here. So he's got a problem with Kelly Loeffler making money. He's upset. Everybody says that we were not prepared for this. Okay. Well, in Forbes magazine, they reported that as of last Monday, 280 million masks in warehouses around the United States were purchased by foreign buyers. And a FEMA spokesperson said the agency has not actively encouraged or discouraged U.S. companies from exporting overseas. So that's proof that we were ready, so much so that we just allowed all these companies to bid and sell their stuff to the highest bidder in other countries instead of going to people who don't have the money to pay for it. So we were ready.
That doesn't sound like, shortages. We don't have it and whatnot. Meanwhile, it's sold everywhere.
Yeah. You know what the problem was? I'll tell you who wasn't prepared. The people who got sick didn't have prepared because they didn't make enough money to pay for this stuff. Maybe if all the doctors weren't so busy with, like, you know, look at me, I'm a doctor. I'm great. Maybe if they actually spent a little time, like, paying attention to buy more masks. That's all I'm saying. Okay. I'm not knocking doctors. I think they do okay. That's
fine.
They're fine,
but it doesn't mean that you don't have self-responsibility just because you're a doctor.
It's,
and people are complaining like, oh, I'm a nurse. I have to wear a garbage bag to protect my face. What's wrong with a little innovation? What's wrong with a little bootstrap?
Let's play this clip. This is clip number two. all of these whiny governors, right? Like, you, there should be a whine, like a whiny test before you get to be governor. And because they're all whining, like, oh, I don't have enough ventilators. I don't have enough masks. It's very suspicious. Yeah, let's listen to Donald Trump yesterday getting harassed by more reporters.
I was hoping you could.
You ever run out of questions? It's the most unbelievable thing. You go through the room. But I have nothing else to do. So if you want us, I mean, if you want, should we keep it going, John? I think so.
Let's go.
Pause it. You know, that is like none of these reporters appreciate how magnanimous President Donald J. Trump is. He says, I got nothing else to do. He's got a lot to do. He could be going, like, he could go out. He has his run, his pick of whatever golf course he could ever go to, whatever he wants at any given time. He could fly on Air Force One or his own jet, for that matter, go anywhere. He could hang out with the world's most beautiful women, but he's not doing it. He's staying there. And
he's just like, fine,
dumb,
it's fine. I care so much, I guess. Exactly. And not only dumb, but always the same.
Same.
Like, why weren't you prepared? Why did you threaten this other reporter? Blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, no one's better for them than him.
Yeah. And you know what? They might as well just ask a question. Can you say, got me? So that he can go, got me. And they go, yes, gotcha. Go ahead.
Andrew Cuomo today said that the system that we have where governors are trying to get ventilators, it's like being on eBay with 50 other states bidding on a ventilator plus FEMA. And then you just said tonight that
you mean he was
doing that.
He was complaining? What did he say exactly? What did he say?
He said that when you have states competing for ventilators and medical care, it's like being on eBay with 50 other states bidding on a ventilator.
Well, he shouldn't be complaining because we gave him a lot of ventilators. And if you take a look at the chart, it's down. But I wish he got going a little bit sooner. But we gave him a lot of ventilators. And you know what? He has a lot of ventilators. The problem is with some people, no matter what you give, it's never enough. It's never enough. Like they'll say, how's Trump doing? And you're a Democrat. Some of them said really good. I'll tell you, Gavin Newsom from California, who's doing a good job, by the way, and others said really good. But, you know, generally your natural reflex, how's Trump doing? You ask that question to a Democrat. We don't like it. Oh, really? You don't like it? We're getting very high marks, but I'm not doing this for marks. I'm doing this to save lives.
Exactly. And they're distracting him from saving lives by asking him questions.
And everybody, look, here's the bottom line. I've been to New York before. Okay. And I will tell you this, almost like the moment you come out of like a train station or a bus station, or you park your car and you walk around a little bit, before you know it, some dude's coming up to you going like, hey, do you want some stethoscopes? Hey, do you want like some scrubs? Hey, I got some, I got a sale over here on some masks or
these ventilators,
some medical devices.
Fell off a truck.
Exactly.
Want a deal on them.
This is
That's
the thing.
All you ever see anywhere you go in New York.
Cuomo is refusing to acknowledge what we all know about New York, which is that there's a lot of thieves there. There's a lot of people like, this fell off a truck, or, you know, like, oh, this fell off a box. Cuomo, right? I mean, people, what does that rhyme with? Soprano, Cuomo, all right? This is the way that New York works. So there's a lot of stuff that's probably been sent in there, and it ends up being on the back of a truck and falling off. And then some dude is selling it like on Broadway. Like, he's like, look, check out, like, he lifts his coat out and he's like, look at the ventilators I got here. I got them for you cheap. If you want to buy other ventilators or something like that. So
Donald Trump's just saying, like, we want to get people what they have or whatever, but I'm also not trying to help like the crime syndicates of New York, because like, there's nothing that Donald Trump hates more than corruption.
You know, I'll tell you something. The first time I went down to New York, I bought 70,000 tongue depressors for like $15.
Exactly.
And I just brought them back because I thought I was going to use them for, you know, like instead of shims, but they turn out they're exactly the same width from like one end to another. I thought they were more narrow at one end because I thought I had cheaper shims. But so I ended up just, you know, burn them in the backyard with some firecrackers. Anyways, let's go to some other thing. This should be obvious, but it's not, apparently. Scotto, when you go to someone's house, are you rude or are you nice?
You should be nice.
Right. You should be nice. But apparently nobody told this to the media when they go to the White House. This is clip number one. It's disgusting the way that he is treated. He is the president of, if not just, I mean, really in many respects, of the entire free world and parts of it that are not free. Because, like, this is the president.
You said repeatedly that you think that some of the equipment that governors are requesting, they don't actually need. You said New York might need, need 30,000. You said it on Sean Hannity's Fox News. You said,
you know,
that
let me ask you.
You said
why don't you act in a little more positive? It's always trying to get you. And you know what? That's why nobody trusts the media anymore.
How is that going to impact?
Excuse me, you didn't hear me. That's why you used to work for the Times and now you work for somebody else. Look, let me tell you something. Be nice. Don't
Mr.
be
President,
threatening.
My question
Don't
is,
be threatening. Be nice. Go
my
ahead.
My question is, how is that going to...
Yeah. Why does he even have to tell her?
Honestly, she's at a point in her life where she shouldn't need to get career and etiquette coaching from the President of the United States. But Donald Trump is such a good guy. And he's working so hard that he's still distracted from impeachment. He's trying to stop a half Chinese hoax, half pandemic. Tom Brady has left the Patriots and he's still saying, like, you know what, lady, I'll teach you how to be nice, maybe not keep ruining your career. I will take the time, even though you're totally disrespectful, to try to save you from having another embarrassing move like getting downgraded from the Times, whatever. But it will never work with these people because all they do is hate.
One of the things I noticed was, you know, this is not surprising. Like liberals, the way that they raise their kids, I don't know if it's like a problem with that or what, but their kids have no respect. They grow up to be non-respectful adults. Then they go into somebody else's house and they just like talk like it's no big deal. Like I could be rude to you. He's the president of the United States. All right. And you got to show some measure of respect. That's what you got to do.
I hate you, Dad. I hate you. You're the worst dad in the world.
All right. Get out of here. Get out. Go. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Get
see? Exactly.
Get out of here.
Yeah. Held it down there.
Unbelievable. I'm at the Sox game. That's where I'm at. So I don't know people.
Your daughter followed you to disrespect you at a Sox game?
No, it's not. Let's go to this clip by one of the guys I have so much respect for, this dude. He's really brilliant. And he is the one guy who I think really, he is one of the Jews who really gets it.
Right.
And this is a guy who is
very smart.
Yeah. He's a smart guy. He also gets it that a lot of the Jews are not really Jews.
Right.
He's one of the few Jews who will say that in public, that he knows that a lot of the Jews are not real Jews.
See, that was like the conversation that people saying, like, we don't like the Jews and whatnot. I said, no. You don't like the fake Jews, which is most of them. They're mostly fake Jews. But right. The real Jews we like.
Right. And this guy's the... like one of the, I don't know if he's the only real Jew, but like one of the top real Jews. And here he is making an excellent point about how, you know, the idea that people can poo-poo making some money off of some products, but it's okay to make money off of your labor.
Look at this guy's
brain.
The
fact is that striking in a time of pandemic, not because of bad worker pay, but because you just want more money. I'm sorry. Everyone else lost their job. Everyone else lost their damn job. Okay, like, if I were Amazon and I had the capacity, I'd fire everybody who strikes right now and I'd bring in workers who are willing to work. I would, because this is, it's unconscionable. The reason I say it's unconscionable is not only are you depriving people of the supply lines that are keeping the country running right now, not only that, but Amazon offered you additional benefits already. This is not you're striking because Amazon's forcing you to go to work. On March 31st, today, Whole Foods employees are going to call in sick to demand paid leave for all workers who stay home or self-quarantine during the crisis. Free coronavirus testing for all employees. Hazard pay. Here's the big one. Hazard pay of double the current hourly wage for employees who show up to work during the pandemic. You want your pay doubled just for showing up to work while everyone else in the country is out of work? I'm sorry. No. No. Okay. And by the way, the actual thing that Whole Foods has done, Whole Foods, buried in this article from Vice, has increased hourly pay for its workers already by $2 an hour in the midst of all this. They've offered to provide 2 weeks of paid sick leave to workers who test positive for COVID-19 and said it would not penalize workers for calling out sick. So they're already saying, we're not going to penalize you. We're not going to fire you if you call out sick. But you need to go get a test because we don't just want people staying home without getting a test, which is perfectly reasonable because you need the supply chains working. A Whole Foods worker in Chicago, organizer of the sick out, who wished to remain anonymous because they feared retaliation. They should be fired outright. The most obvious demand we have is for an increase in hazard pay. We're asking for double pay. Double pay. Since we first announced the intent to do a sick out, Whole Foods announced a temporary raise of $2 an hour, which isn't enough. Okay, I'm sorry. What happens if all the cops call out sick? They want double pay. What happens if all of the medical professionals call out sick because they want double pay? You want to talk? It's funny. Everybody is happy to talk about people in the speculative market buying up coronavirus masks and then trying to sell them for $1,000 on eBay. This is the same damn thing. You're asking for double pay in the midst of a pandemic because you know that those employees are necessary in order to make sure that the old people get their food.
I mean, the way he says damn and his little like papilla bounces because like he's very upset about this. And
he should be. Yeah. All right. These workers, you want to get paid when you're sick? Excuse me? That just because you think that like, oh, because I go to a supermarket where I'm actually dealing with everybody who comes in and all these people who could give me it, if I get sick, then you got to get paid? Well, no, I say you have bad luck. You should have had a job where you weren't around all these other people. A, B, okay? You want free tests? Oh, I got news for you. There's no such thing as a free test. Okay. No, somebody's got to pay for it. Somebody's going to pay for it. Who's supposed to pay for it? Oh, the business owner that you're working for? That doesn't make any sense.
But meanwhile, that same owner can't price gouge. So then they got to give everything free, but they also can't make money. And meanwhile, look, this is the land of opportunity. Okay. I think you want to work at a grocery store. That's great. But you could have started a business. You could have founded Whole Foods. Maybe if you want to test, you create Amazon instead of working as a grocer.
And this is the other thing that is just unbelievable, all right? This is how ungrateful these workers are. They are being offered. Are you ready for this? Let's say you work a 9-hour shift, okay? Because in a pandemic, you really should be working 9 to 10 hours. That is nearly $18 to $20 extra a day. Think about that. If you work 5 days, you're making almost an extra $100 and all you got to do is not get that illness that can put you into a hospital, into ICU.
Hey, look at me. Look at me. I've got Purell on my hands. Even a friggin' bagger could figure that out. And listen, the other thing is then it's hundreds of dollars times like thousand, whatnot, whatever, lots of money. And at the same time, Amazon can't raise its prices on, you know, diapers and whatnot, straight out from the bottom line. And these people want more. They're parasites.
Listen to this, okay?
They're just like fake
workers,
Jews.
Listen to how unbelievable and grateful these people are. Workers told Vice they received voicemails from Whole Foods informing them that their coworkers had fallen sick days after the store learned about positive cases, leading workers to express concerns that Whole Foods isn't acting quickly enough to protect employees who might have been exposed. Oh, so now it's like we want you to inform us when other people are sick. And then it's like, oh, we want you to inform us as soon as you know. It's because I can't wait. I need the information right away. But here's the problem. If they know the information right away, they may not come in because they're afraid of getting it. So how could they tell them? What do they want? Jeff Bezos to call them privately? Like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, guys. I'm in the middle of a multi-billion dollar business. Like I'm having a hard enough time tracking how much I've lost in the stock market, because I probably lost hundreds of millions of dollars, if not $1 billion in the stock market, because I have billions upon billions of dollars. So there's a lot more for me to lose. But I've got to take time out because I got to call Joe Schmo, who works at the Whole Foods and, you know, outside of Chicago, and tell him that, you know, his buddy Brian has coronavirus, who works with him at the store. Hold on, everybody, because we got nothing better for me to do. So I'm just going
to
call him right now.
I'm trying to get a rocket to the moon, but let me, oh yeah, you have corona. And by the way, when was your boss your babysitter? You want to know if people at your store got corona? You got to call around yourself and don't use this as an opportunity to try to destroy Jeff Bezos. I mean, it's disgusting.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. You whine because people are just, you know, slightly upcharging on the N95 masks, you know, charging $10, $15, $20 per mask. And then you're whining because you want double pay for working in a pandemic. Oh, my God, it's disgusting. You know what? It's just like, give me, give me, give me. Take, 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 take with him.
That's all they
Meanwhile,
want.
Meanwhile, here's a guy I have total respect for who's not whining about it. He's not whining about it. He's not worried about no coronavirus. Here is the amazing chief commissioner and officer of the Reich, Zeb Gorka.
But my doctor couldn't diagnose and ended up just saying it was bronchitis. Spent about 4 days in bed with a temperature for one or two of them. And my best friend, Dean, had the same thing happen to him last month.
John.
Fever, like you.
John.
Yes.
I had it in January. I had the long I had the longest cough. They put me on one of these little inhaler thingies, and I think I had it back in January. And I've heard this story so many times.
Yeah, I did too. My doctor ended up saying it was bronchitis, and I just should stay in bed for a while.
Right.
Didn't even want to give me antibiotics for it.
I didn't have that option. I have a radio show. They didn't let me stay in bed. John, I think you're right. I think we will find out that many, many more people have had it, and that's why the mortality figures are going to work out to be much better than we expected. Glad you're healthy again, John. Let's jump to...
I had corona before we went on air this morning. I'm already over it. Midway through the show.
I probably had it a couple of times in January, probably in December. It's like... Everybody's trying to make it out to be, you know, some big deal. But fortunately, we have some incredible investigative reporters who are out there doing the work, blowing the lid off this whole thing. Here is a clip of the great James O'Keefe, who is one of the country's greatest investigative reporters. Of course, he gets no credit for it. He works in complete, you know, like abstentia because of we live in a liberal democratic, you know, media does not want to recognize a genuine reporter when they see one. But here he is. He drove up to New Rochelle and this is what he found. New Rochelle, New York, which is supposed to be like the epicenter of everything in the world, like all the coronavirus is there. Here he is.
The media.
So it's quick.
Nope, just us two.
Any favorite to turn your blinkers?
Hazards? What do you think? Is this as bad as everyone's saying out here? Or should I trust the media?
So it's quick. I mean, for the kids, it's bad. It's just they're gonna stick up like a Q-tip up your nose. I heard it's like a weird feeling. It's not like bad. Like you ever got when you get strep throat, you put something.
Yeah. Well, what about the situation itself? Is it as bad as ever the media is saying? The whole pandemic?
Oh no! It's the flu.
It's just the flu.
It's the flu.
That's all it is.
It's the flu.
Wow! It's not as bad as the CNN is telling me.
Everybody differently.
Is it as bad as Andrew Cuomo is telling me? And is it as bad as Andrew Cuomo is saying on CNN?
I don't know.
It's just a flu, though, basically.
Yeah, it affects everybody differently.
Okay.
Yeah. So pretty much, like, you can have symptoms, I might, and, or a lot of people don't have. The problem is that it spreads quick, like the flu, like a cold.
What are you? Are you guys like Army National Guard, or what are you guys?
Yeah, it's the Army.
You're in the Army?
Yeah, from New York.
Where are you from?
Brooklyn.
Well, thanks for being here.
Yeah, we all over the place. They got us everywhere.
And it's not as bad as the media is saying. I'm hearing you.
No, I'm in the tents with you with them. I'm doing all this shit.
You're doing everything.
Yeah, and I'm not getting sick. I'm good.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
Well, thanks for being here, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, all right. So there it is. I mean, the first of all, the guy's in the Army, so he knows exactly what's going on. He's not getting sick. Now, of course, he's wearing a mask and got gloves and he's, you know, keeping the window shut, you know, and talking to the guy through the window. And, you know, but look, the media will not tell you that story that every guy in the Army knows. This is all a farce, a total farce. Chris Cuomo's wrong. Andrew Cuomo's wrong. The entire Cuomo family is wrong. CNN, any station that has three letters.
You know, the Cuomo's not going to, well, Omerta.
Yeah, exactly. We got to keep it quiet. Yeah. We're not going to say anybody. Throw away the key.
We got to destroy Donald Trump.
He made it clear. Well, how's the situation? Is it as bad as they say? I don't know. Yeah, that is, in other words, I do know. It's not. They're lying to you. This is simple. This is simple stuff. It's unbelievable. And what are they doing? They're destroying our economy. Why are they doing it? You have like right now, 10 million people, could be 40 million people who are all quitting their jobs to get on unemployment plus, like the yep. plus version of unemployment. And part of the payment, we can maybe hurt Donald Trump's reelection plans.
That's a win-win. Like, and again, I always say this, but that's Saul Alinsky tactics. Because what do they want? They want people not working. They want Donald Trump to lose so that America can go say it's, you know, sorry, whatever. And then people won't work. And then when people don't work, then people at Whole Foods could be like, hey, I'm one of the few people not on unemployment. I want $10 million a year to bag groceries because I have a sniffle. And then maybe, you know, the job creators should go to jail. This is Bolshevik stuff. It's Saul Alinsky and it's a plan.
We got a little bit more of James O'Keefe, who, frankly, this is Pulitzer Prize, surprise winning stuff. Like, he should be getting an award for this, but of course he won't. But here he is. He's in New Rochelle. Go ahead.
I'm speaking with these Army guys. I mean, they're basically just telling me it's just a bad flu. That's all they're saying. It's not as bad as the media is saying everything. Pretty crazy. I mean, that's not what we're hearing in the news.
So I'm going to ask you not to do any photography or video.
Oh, sorry about that.
It's just an issue with HIPAA and stuff.
Of course. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No problem. Is it as bad as they're saying, this pandemic? Everyone's freaking out. Is it bad? Is it overblown by the media? What is it like?
Is it what?
Is the media accurately reporting, or is it as bad as people are saying?
No.
It's not as bad as the media is making it out bigger.
Yeah.
Wow.
We just want to be precautious.
Just be precautious, yep. All right. Yeah, no. Okay, thank you. Thanks, sir. So this guy just said the same thing. He told us that I asked him, is it as bad as the media says? He says, nope, no. He was clear. He said, we're just being precautious. That's what he said just now. Yeah, two people telling me this is not as bad as what the media is saying. Unbelievable.
I just like that. Like, that guy, you know, is like in a full hazmat suit. But he's like, look, this is just for show. Relax.
Well, look. All they're doing is being precautious, right? I mean, right. Very precautious. And they're just doing it for precautious. And I'll say this, too. I think, like, one of the things that, you know, you never hear about James O'Keefe, because part of the reason is the liberal media wants to silence him, is he's got that whole thing where it's like all the words he says are just, like, written out in big letters so that you can see it. Like, every time he talks. Why don't they do that on the regular news? Because they're afraid. Because they don't actually want you to hear what they're saying.
Exactly. And, like, hi, I'm Rachel Maddow, Russia lesbian. Spell that out.
Right.
And it's not going to look very good.
And the thing about O'Keefe that's also really good is that I know that there was nobody else in that car. And he does that because he's like explaining it to the audience. But right. You never see that in the regular media because they all pretend like, oh, we can't do that. So, yeah, he's the best. All right. Lastly, we got one more thing. This guy, he is a they're arresting Christians right now because that's what you do when you this is what they call like, anti-Christian disaster work. They will arrest Christians when they have the opportunity to do so. And here is the a friend of that Christian who was arrested. He's a Christian evangelist preacher telling the truth. His name is Jonathan Shuttlesworth. He's friends with that guy, Rodney Howard Brown. And he is not going to take it anymore. We are right. So tired of anti-Christian oppression. And to use this hoax and tragedy about Tom Brady in some way as a way of going and oppressing Christians is just disgusting. And this guy is striking back. And this is why he gets the kudos of the day.
I'm going to announce it. But we're going to hold an outdoor Easter blowout service, not online. A national gathering. You can come from all over, like Woodstock. And we're going to gather and lift up Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed that Dr. Rodney got arrested. I'm ashamed that when they wanted to arrest preachers for having church in an entire state, there was only one to come for.
That is so awesome.
So awesome. It's basically a Woodstock, but for people who shower.
Yeah. It's like Woodstock for people who don't hate America. And East is really the original Woodstock in a sense. But I just think that's cool. And also, you just think about like you're in a crowd. I got it. Now I'm immune. Here you go. You got it. Boom. Now you are immune.
That is why they do not want, the deep state does not want us in crowds because they are afraid of us developing an immunity and therefore being able to go around and do our business.
Exactly.
It's so obvious at this point. And so people just got to know the truth. Let's go and take some phone calls, I guess, just for a minute. And then we will take a couple of phone calls to see if there's anybody that will take a couple of calls, and then we have to go because
of Tom Brady.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah. Okay. Calling from a 509 area code. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
Good afternoon, guys. This is Anthony from San Juan.
Anthony from San Juan. Welcome to the program. What's happening?
Yeah, okay. According to a recent poll from the Gateway Pundit, 75% of liberals are triggered by the use of the term Chinese virus. And another 80% are triggered by seeing people go out in public. And according to a poll conducted recently by myself, 100% of liberals can suck my dick.
Sweet. Awesome. That was, I love it. Good stuff.
I just want to say also one more thing. To the extent that there was a problem with the quote unquote corona response, it has been it falls squarely on the shoulders of Nancy Pelosi, who's a bitch, by the way, but also I know has been kind of a team player, but Mike Pence was put in charge of all this. So I've been kicking around some numbers. And the following replacement VPs would increase Trump's chances of winning in November from anywhere between 5 to 70%. Kanye West, the black man from the music, Dean Cain, Caitlyn Jenner, or as I call him, Bruce, Scott Baio, Pat Sajak, Ben Stein, Meatloaf, Dennis Rodman, Dr. Drew, Vince Vaughn, Dennis Miller, Kevin Sorbo, or I don't know if you saw him the other day. This is my personal pick, Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy.
Yeah, he's great. He's great. We have a clip of
a very strong leader.
We have a great clip clip of Mike Lindell, I think. Yeah, here he is. Listen to this.
I need to finish my list. First. Right, sorry, Dennis Rodman, Dennis Prager, Kirk Cameron, and Candace Cameron. So I just wanted to we can go back to Mike Lindell, but get your thoughts on that list and who you would pick to replace Mike Pence, who's a traitor and probably also a closeted homosexual.
I would pick Mike Lindell.
I would pick Kevin Sorbo.
I would pick Mike Lindell just because, A, he's got a great product. He's a businessman. We need business expertise in government. I think President Trump has shown that. Let's play this clip of Mike Lindell because, you know, he is telling the truth to one of the top newsmen we've ever had in this country, Lou Dobbs. And they're talking about MSNBC's Chris Hayes, who criticizes networks for broadcasting Trump's coronavirus press briefings. And of course, we all know why he's doing that, because Chris Hayes is afraid he's losing an audience because they're all going like, I can't believe we've been listening to this soy boy for all this time. We didn't know the truth about Donald Trump. And here's Mike Lindell talking about that.
Wow. The pillow guy reading the
I'll
Bible.
I'll tell you what, I heard Jim Acosta attack me too, and he was 10 feet from me in the Rose Garden. This is just evil, Lou. This is evil. I was talking to the president. I said, Mr. President, you doing these press conferences. I said, I've had friends of mine that are on the left, and here I showed him one of my texts that says, Mike, I'm not a big fan of President Trump, but God bless him. He is doing an amazing job. I think he's turning me. These are the real people that are seeing now that this president has done the best man in charge for at such a time as this. It's just those newscasters, those journalists from, and we know who they are. And I'm going to say it, CNN, what they did to me, I'm sorry. I put out a message of hope to the country that God had given us grace on November 8, 2016, for such a time where a nation had turned his back on God. And right now, we're part of this big revival. We can sit at home and we can go there, get back in the Word with our Bible, spend time with our families, and everybody pray that we have this great administration that can make some decisions to get us through this. And, I'm appalled by the journalists that I see there. I used to think, are they really that evil? Well, yes, they are.
Yeah, I got to agree.
Yeah, exactly.
I was reading the Bible last night, as I do every night before I go to bed, and all the things with like the Psalms and the things that people who lived at that time would say is very inspirational. All the stuff about how like God does stuff, and those things are super important. And I would also say that I have a lot of liberal friends, as you know, Scotso, a lot of liberal people who come up to me every day. And they say, I'm a liberal and a Democrat. And they say, and I know that's redundant. I'm a liberal and a Democrat because it's all the same. Socialist, Marxist. And that's what they generally will say. And then they say, but, once I stopped listening to the mainstream media, I realized that Donald Trump is the best president we've ever had.
I'm a communist who loves Saul Alinsky and like whatnot. And then all of a sudden I don't have my MSNBC because Donald Trump's talking about the virus. And now I think that I'm probably like I'm going to vote for Donald Trump. You just hear it like constantly.
Let's go to the phones calling from a 201 area code.
What's up, guys? Is this me?
Yeah, who's this?
This is Hunter Biden. I have no idea where I am. I'm driving drunk in a rental car, but
nice.
Listen, I just wanted to hit you guys up and thanks for supporting my dad, you know. I was really glad about your critiques of Sneaky Pete, for instance. And, you know, I think the Trump people and the Biden people, we can come together on stuff, you know.
We don't support your dad. He is you and he were corrupt. You basically got the Ukrainians to help Hillary Clinton win the election.
You arch criminals.
Come on, guys. Come on. Come on. My dad might sell you out, but I mean, he's not going to make a dime off it. He's got integrity.
Well, but you sure made a lot, about $14 million a month.
You know what my dad calls that?
No.
Milwaukee.
Oh, all right.
Dude, go drive yourself to an Amtrak station.
Yeah, no kidding. So long, Amtrak Hunter. calling from a 978 area code. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Ken, it's Matt from Mass. How's it going?
Matt from Mass, what's up?
Oh, not much. You know, I'm glad to see you guys back on the air. There's every time I come to watch you guys, there's some weird liberals always talking their bullshit. I'm back. I'm glad you guys weren't canceled.
No, we are rated number two in the entire southeast metropolitan area of Stoughton, Massachusetts.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to listening to you guys more. I'm just a little concerned because seems like you guys aren't telling the real story about how this whole crisis was manufactured by Roger Goodell. You know, I mean, he's just tired of the Patriots winning Super Bowls, and it's he engineered all this to get Tom Brady away from us. And during St. Patty's Day, it's ridiculous, I tell you.
I think there's some truth to what you're saying. I mean, it's not like we just don't want to, you know, we have not been able to confirm anything like that. And so the bottom line is that I think, you know, canceling St. Patty's Day was one of the things that I know that Brady really liked about living in this area. And when that was canceled, I think he just said, F it. I'm just going to go and play for Florida.
When Roger Goodell and, you know, when he endorsed like Jay-Z and Black Lives Matter and whatnot, that was a shot across the bow at Southern New England and, you know, people who don't hate the country. And then Brady happens a couple of months later, along with the Chinese hoax, Chinese virus. So we'll check our sources, but there's a lot of dots to connect.
All right, appreciate
it. It's really a low blow, and thanks for telling the truth, guys. I'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye. All right, well, that's it. We're out of time for today. All right, dude. We're going to sign off, but we'll be back tomorrow, you know, talking more about this hoax stuff. So see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.